Today on The King is Coming.
It's almost like there's this chasm between the rapture and the second coming. And there's so many dissimilarities between them. This is why we need to make sure we don't make the mistake of thinking that they're somehow the same event. The coming of the Lord, is it the rapture or the second coming? Are these the same event or somehow they different? We're going to find out on this episode of The King is Coming. Join me.
The parables of Jesus can seem like some of the most mysterious and difficult stories to understand. Why did he speak in parables? What do they mean? Introducing the Parables of the Apocalypse, a powerful seven-part teaching series that unlocks the prophetic truths hidden in the stories Jesus taught his disciples in the last week of his life on earth. From the Lord's Prayer, to the faithful slave, to the parable of the fig tree, these are not just ancient lessons, they are urgent messages for our time. What do these parables reveal about the return of Christ? And more importantly, are you ready? Don't miss this eye-opening journey into the words of Jesus, because the signs are speaking and the time is near. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $45 or more. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com to get your copy today.
Well, we're in this series called The Rapture here on The King is Coming, and I can't think of a more exciting topic to talk about. And I've read books on the rapture, many, many books by great giants of the faith, like Dr. Ed Heinzen, who used to host and teach on this very show. And Dr. Ed Heinzen believed very strongly in the rapture of the church. And my friends, we're talking about today the difference between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. You know, in the Bible, there are three different words that talk about the coming of Christ. There's the word apocalypsis, which is just simply the word revelation. And that word is used 18 times in the New Testament. Then there's the Greek word epiphania, which means manifestation of someone. It's manifesting Christ, making him known. And then we have the word parousia that's used 24 times. Epiphania is used 6 times. 24 times parousia is used. And you say, wait a minute, Jeff, which ones of those talk about the second coming? Which ones talk about the rapture? Well, it all depends on the context. Context determines everything when you're trying to understand, is this passage speaking about the rapture coming of Christ or the second coming of Christ? You say, well, are there two comings of Jesus? Well, technically there is, but most theologians look at the end times as the coming of the Lord that happens in two phases. The first phase is when he comes to reach and bring his bride to heaven. And the second phase is when he comes to the earth to bring a judgment there. And so really just the end times, it comprises the one coming of the Lord, but it's in two different phases there. It can get a little complicated at times, I understand. But here's the point. The point is the Bible clearly teaches that there are two separate prophetic events at the end of time. And one of them is the rapture and the other is the second coming. So in this program today, we're going to talk about what are the differences or the distinctives between the rapture and the second coming. If you've got a pen or a pencil, you might want to jot down this, maybe a left-hand column and a right-hand column, so that you can clearly and visually see what these differences are. Now, the rapture, when we talk about the rapture, this is a topic that is not covered in the Old Testament. You can look as much as you want in the Old Testament, but the rapture is not covered in the Old Testament. In fact, the Bible talks about the rapture being a mystery. Paul actually calls it a mystery in 1 Corinthians. And a mystery in Scripture is not like a murder mystery or an Agatha Christie or a whodunit, something like that, but it's simply talking about something that has previously not been revealed. Now, in what sense is the rapture a mystery to the world and to the church? We'll talk about that when I come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So the rapture is not found in the Old Testament. It's a mystery, and a mystery is something that is not like an Agatha Christie novel or a whodunit, a murder mystery. It's simply truth that is previously unknown and that God reveals in time. And so that's what the rapture is. You would have had a lot of trouble explaining the rapture to Old Testament saints when there wasn't even a church yet to be raptured. In contrast, the second coming of Christ is prophesied many times throughout the Old Testament. So there's a difference. Also, the rapture affects only believers. So when Jesus comes back at the rapture, only Christians will be directly impacted in the sense that they'll be snatched away. But at the second coming affects all of humanity that is alive at that time. At the rapture, there's no judgment mentioned on the earth. Jesus comes in the air, the Bible says, and he comes to receive the bride. But at the second coming, the earth is judged throughout the tribulation and through the actual second coming of Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. So one doesn't have judgment associated with it, the other does. In the rapture, the main purpose is a sense of rescuing the bride. But at the second coming, the main purpose is retribution, or to bring that judgment. In fact, it says in Revelation chapter 19, it says that Jesus Christ is coming back. Listen to the reasons for the second coming. This is Revelation 19:11. It says, "I saw heaven open to behold a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war." So Jesus at the second coming is coming to judge. He's coming to wage war. At the rapture, he's coming to rescue his bride. So that's a very distinct difference. Another difference between the rapture and the second coming is the rapture is spoken of as occurring instantaneously. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have, as we saw in a previous King is Coming episode, he talks about the rapture happening in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So there's almost an instantaneous characteristic and nature to the rapture. But at the second coming, the Bible says it actually involves a battle campaign. When Jesus comes back at the second coming, he's going to come back, and among the things he's going to do is he's going to ride down to Bozrah to rescue the Jewish remnant down there. The Bible says he'll ride up from Bozrah, and his robe will be stained with the blood of his enemies. He'll ride up to Jerusalem. He will touch the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is going to be split in half. He's going to wage war against the nations that have surrounded Jerusalem. He's going to do battle with Armageddon. At that time, the armies have gathered Armageddon. He's going to take the false prophet and the Antichrist. He's going to cast them in the lake of fire. So there's many things involved in the second coming, but only one instantaneous event for the rapture. Now, here's a very important distinction between the rapture and the second coming. When Jesus comes at the rapture, he comes for his church. He comes to get his church, to receive his church. But when you read Revelation 19 at the second coming, the Bible says that he comes with his church. So that's two distinct events there. One, he comes to get his church. The other, the church is with him already. And the Bible says in chapter 19 of Revelation and verse 14 that we will be riding with Christ. It says we were following him on white horses. You know, people have said, wait a minute, am I going to get a horse? I've never ridden a horse. Well, you're going to ride a horse at the second coming. There's going to be a special horse provided for you. You're going to ride behind Jesus Christ as he gallops through the heavens down to planet Earth. So one, he comes for the church. The other, he comes with the church. Now, this is something that's very interesting. In the rapture event, Scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 that the saints will be raised from the dead, that there's going to be a, as someone once described, a great getting up morning. There's going to be a transformation and a resurrection for believers at the rapture. But guess what? Something radically different happens for unbelievers at the second coming. I'll tell you what it is right when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So at the rapture, saints are risen from the grave. But the Bible tells us of a scene that you would think it's a depiction of a movie. In Revelation 19, he says that at the second coming, he doesn't raise people from the dead, saints from the dead in terms of the church. He puts sinners in the grave at the second coming. In fact, in chapter 19 of Revelation and verse 16, it says, "And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron." And it says, "On his robe and on his thigh he has written a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This imagery that Scripture uses is of someone in the winepress stomping out the grapes, pulverizing the grapes, and the juice comes flowing from the grapes. It says, "This is the winepress of the Lord when he comes at his second coming." And there's no mention of that at the first coming. In fact, the opposite is true. People come to life at the rapture. People go to death at the second coming. And it goes on to talk about the birds of the air coming to feast upon, it says, the flesh of kings and commanders, and the flesh of mighty men and horses and those who sit upon them, the flesh of all men. And so it's going to be a gory scene at the second coming, but a glorious scene at the rapture. That's a huge difference between the two. At the rapture, this is something very interesting. At the rapture, the Bible indicates that immediately after the rapture, we're caught up with Jesus in the air, and it says we go to heaven to be with him. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 4, it tells us that after the Lord comes, we will be rewarded. In other words, the bema, or the judgment seat of Christ, will occur. It says then that's when Christ will disclose the motives of men's hearts. It's going to be the big evaluation ceremony, but it's also going to be the reward ceremony for the church. And we know about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It tells us about the bema seat of Jesus. But at the second coming, only judgment will follow. There will not be that immediate reward, but just the judgment for sinners. Now at the rapture, the bride is called to a wedding. And there's a sense of a day that has been anticipated for centuries, that the church has looked forward to for all this time. But at the second coming, as we mentioned, the birds are called to a feast. And so there's two completely different callings that distinguishes these two events. Now, in previous episodes of The King is Coming, we've talked about the difference between the rapture and the second coming being that at the rapture, we don't see any signs really preceding that glorious event. But for the second coming, Revelation chapters 6 through 19 include all of the signs that we're going to see preceding that second coming event. And you know, why is this so important? Well, it's so important because people sometimes will say, wait a minute, aren't there signs leading up to the rapture? What signs should we be looking for? Hey, if Israel does this, or this happens in the Middle East, or this happens over in Europe with the, you know, with the European Union, doesn't that tell us that the rapture is going to happen at a certain time? Well, no, it doesn't. But consider this. If we are now seeing, if the rapture comes first, and then the tribulation period, and right now we are seeing strong signs of the tribulation prophecies in formation right now, and the rapture hasn't even happened yet, that tells us that the rapture's near, because we're seeing the signs of the tribulation. And so we're sort of like, it's like the tribulation is casting a shadow on the times which you and I live. And so no signs for the rapture, but the signs of the tribulation are happening even now. And so that tells us that we're in the day, in the season of the Lord's return. Now, in the rapture event, this is important, Jesus Christ is going to come in the air. The Bible tells us that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, that we will meet him in the air, 16 and 17. And so Christ doesn't actually come down to the earth and visit earth again. In fact, in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus rose and ascended, he was raptured, actually. Revelation 12, verse 5 tells us that he was actually raptured. When that happens, the two angels that appeared told the disciples that one day Christ will come back to the earth in the same way that he left it. Well, at the rapture, he doesn't come all the way to the earth, but at the second coming, he actually does. And what's very interesting, and we've talked about this previously on the King is Coming, that in the book of Zechariah, there's a prophecy there that concerns this very event. It says in Zechariah 14:4, "And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move towards the north and the other half towards the south." When I was in Jerusalem doing research and study for my book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, I went up on top of the Mount of Olives and I just stood there and took in this really amazing panoramic view of the city of Jerusalem. There's the Temple Mount there that you see. And you can see really the vantage point that Jesus and his disciples saw when they were on that very mountain. And that Mount of Olives has immense significance. It's on the Mount of Olives that Christ gave his famous Olivet Discourse, where he explained to the disciples what the end times were going to be like. It was on the Mount of Olives where he ascended up into heaven after his resurrection. And it's this very Mount of Olives that he's coming back down to, that his feet are going to touch at the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's going to be the greatest touchdown in all of history. Now, what's very significant about this and very prophetic concerning the second coming return of Jesus is that there's been a geological survey in Israel, and they determined, this was reported by NBC News in 2004, they have determined that the area around the Mount of Olives, specifically underneath the Mount of Olives, is at imminent risk for earthquake. Imminent risk. That means it could happen at any time. Now, that tells us that Zechariah didn't get lucky when he wrote this prophecy. That tells us that he was prophesying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this mountain one day is going to split when the feet of Jesus touch down there. So it's going to be an amazing time, and that's different from the rapture. The Bible tells us that the rapture will occur prior to God releasing his wrath, but the second coming is vastly different. We'll know why when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So we know from our previous studies here on The King is Coming that the rapture of the church will occur prior to God's wrath being unleashed on this planet. We did the study on that. We answered the objections to the preacher of rapture. We talked about the timing of the rapture and theologically why that's a believable case. But at the second coming, Christ is going to come back to the earth after his wrath occurs. So this is another reason why the rapture and the second coming have to be separated chronologically and by at least 7 years. In fact, the rapture of the church, this is an important point to understand. The rapture of the church is not what begins the seven-year tribulation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the rapture begins it. But the Bible does tell us in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that the signing of a peace treaty between Antichrist and Israel is what begins the 70th week of Daniel, or the last 7 years. And there will be some parenthesis of time, some gap of time that will take place before the tribulation period officially begins at the signing of that peace treaty. You say, Jeff, what's the point of that gap period, if you will? Well, consider that once the rapture happens, it's going to really ignite global chaos, confusion, and fear, and panic on an unprecedented scale such as the world has never known. And when that happens, the world's going to be plunged into chaos and catastrophe. So into that void, there's going to be a time period where nations are going to be searching, politicians and pundits and leaders and powerful people and billionaires are going to try to solve the problem. But guess what? They're not going to be able to solve the problem. And into that void will step the man of Satan's own choosing. And he is the one that will step in there and bring a sense of relative peace and safety, 1 Thess says in 1 Thess 5. And he'll bring calm to that, and that will lead to the signing of that treaty. So how long will that time be? Will it be days? Will it be weeks? Will it be months? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But here's what I suspect. I suspect that there will be a strong motivation to bring a sense of calm to the raging global waters of the geopolitical world and of what's happening all over planet Earth. And so there's going to be a motivation to get things settled down. And watch this now, Antichrist, I believe, will come on the scene shortly after that, the rapture, because Satan has been waiting for 6,000 years to do what he's about to do. And so he's going to be ready to put Antichrist into that leadership void as soon as is humanly or satanically possible. So, gap between the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, but at the end of that tribulation period is when that second coming occurs. At the rapture, the Bible says only believers presumably see Jesus. In other words, there's no verse that says after the rapture, the people on the earth were talking about, wow, did you see Jesus? Wow, I never knew what he looked like. No, he's going to be up in the clouds, it says. So we're going to meet him in the clouds. So he's hidden from plain view. But Revelation 1:7 tells us that at the second coming of Jesus, the whole earth is going to see. It says every eye will see him. And that phrase, every eye, means every eye. It means everybody's going to see Jesus. That's what it means. So one is a very private event for believers. It's not secret, but it's private for believers in terms of we're the only ones that sees Christ. The other one is the most globally public event that's ever happened in the world. After the rapture, Jesus returns to heaven, the Bible tells us in 1 Thess 4:16-17. But at the second coming, he remains on the earth to set up his millennial kingdom. At the rapture, believers are removed afterwards, and only unbelievers remain. But at the second coming, unbelievers are removed and taken away to judgment, and only believers remain on the earth to go into the millennial kingdom. At the rapture, all believers are raptured. At the second coming, all unbelievers are judged. So there's two separate purposes for those two events. Obviously, that means that at the time of the rapture, there's going to be a great time of joy and celebration. At the time of the second coming, it's going to be a great time of mourning and grief and wailing and judgment at that time. After the rapture, the Bible says the marriage of the Lamb follows. We know from Revelation 19 that before Jesus comes back at his second coming, that the marriage of the Lamb has already taken place, verses 6, 7, and 8 in chapter 19 of Revelation. So the marriage has already taken place in heaven during the tribulation. But at the time of the second coming, there's going to be not a marriage, but there's going to be a judgment called the sheep and the goats judgment. That's Matthew chapter 25. At the rapture, we know that it deals with God's program for the church. See, this is why there are no Jewish signs that portend or point towards the coming of the rapture. That's why we don't pay attention to a Jewish feast, to Jewish holidays, to Jewish holy days. We only pay attention to the fact that it could happen any time. The rapture of the church is only for the church that is also comprised of Jew and Gentile. But for the nation of Israel, the second coming is primarily for Israel. Because it is at that time that the Bible says in Romans 11:26 that all Israel will be saved. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 tells they will mourn on the one that they've seen, and they will welcome him when he returns. At the rapture, creation remains unchanged. Earth's curse remains on the earth after the rapture. But at the second coming, creation itself begins to be changed for the millennial kingdom, and earthly curse is lifted. Two final differences here. At the rapture, there is a transformation of believers' bodies. But at the second coming, there's no transformation or no translation or no elevation mentioned in the second coming. And then finally, the rapture of the church is an expectation that only the church has. Israel's not planning for the rapture, only the church. But at the second coming, it's the expectation of believing Israel. Those Jews who have believed in Messiah, those are the ones that are going to be expecting Messiah to come. And that's why the Bible says, as they are holed up at Bozrah and they are surrounded by Antichrist enemies, Scripture says they will call upon the name of the Lord and they will all be saved. And so can you see these vast differences? It's almost like there's this chasm between the rapture and the second coming. And there's so many dissimilarities between them. This is why we need to make sure we don't make the mistake of thinking that they're somehow the same event. They are separated by at least 7 years. They have different purposes, different programs. There's different prescriptions for judgment and for rescue that take place during that time. And so as we think about the rapture, there's a time involved. God has a time clock. Next comes the rapture. Then comes the beginning of the tribulation. Then the end of the tribulation, which coincides with the second coming of Christ. And those, my friends, are some of the biggest differences between the rapture and the second coming. I hope that helps you make sense of those topics. We'll cover another topic about the rapture next time, right here on The King is Coming. I'll see you then.
Are you ready to dive into one of the most powerful and timely topics of our time? Introducing the brand new 8-week video series from The King is Coming, all about the rapture. Hosted by Jeff Kinley, this series will unpack why the rapture of the church is under fierce attack today, what it means for our lives, how it fits into Christian tradition, and when it might happen. Don't miss out on this eye-opening journey. Whether you're curious, concerned, or just eager to grow in your faith, this series is for you. Get ready to be encouraged and informed as we dive deep into the hope and the truth of the rapture. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $50 or more. Let's uncover the truth together. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com to get your copy today.
We've been studying Uncovering the Mysteries of God here at The King is Coming, and I've written a book by the same title. I'd love for you to have a copy. Just go to thekingiscoming.com and order your copy today.
For any gift of $20 or more, order your copy of Uncovering the Mysteries of God today. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com.